We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. Feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That pick was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, C.T. Schwenk. Thank you for joining us this Monday, December 12th, 2016. Give us a follow at Zardcast on Twitter. You can subscribe to the show. Best way to get the pod every week on iTunes, Google Play. We got a whole roster of places you can find us now. Blog Talk Radio, Overcast, Player FM, Stitcher, Acast, and TuneIn. A lot of new channels. I tease it on Twitter. We have a big announcement tonight. We're actually going to slot that down for our next segment before we get to the Miami game and the past week's games as well. So that is all related there. So you can find us on any of those channels. David Keffer here sitting with me. How do you listen to the pod?
I don't that often. I listen to myself enough that I don't really need more of it. When I do, I mean, I just use the normal iPhone podcast app. Does that not work for people?
No, it's fine.
That's how I listen to all the podcasts I listen to. I don't ever need to use Overcast, Downcast, Podbay. Is that
Podbay, Google Play?
Just the normal one works for me.
All right, all right. Gary Jones, how are you, sir? How do you listen?
I'm good. I've got a guy at Urban Outfitters who usually puts it on wax for me, and then I play it as a 45. Really resonates.
That's really progressive of you.
Yeah, I'm hip.
Yeah, totally. So to start the pod out here, we've got Albert Bernico on the line, Deadspin staffer, food spin chef, and dejected Wizards fan. How are you doing, sir?
Pretty well for a Wizards fan.
Just pretty well. Did you take in the Miami game?
I did. I wish I could say any of it was disappointing, but it was about what I expected.
Okay, fair enough. Got a couple things to run down with you. You posted something on Deadspin. I think all three of us, all of Wizards Nation, Wizards community, I don't know, it's probably not a nation of us, but we enjoy when you take the Wizards to task on Deadspin. You really let him have it last week, Ernie Grunsfeld especially, but I want to get to your roots here. Are you from the D.C.? You're clearly from the D.C. area. Are you from the district directly? And when did you shackle yourself to this miserable franchise?
I grew up in Northern Virginia. I've lived in the actual city of DC for a grand total of a couple of months. And I don't live there currently. I've been a Wizards fan, since before they were the Wizards, of course. Since the mid 90s, I suppose. Early 90s. I guess I picked them up around then, like the Gugliotta years.
Okay. So too long is basically what you're telling us.
Well, yeah, I mean, a day is too long. But yes, too long.
Well, thanks again for coming on. Unfortunately, we're on the heels of a loss. We were really holding out hope for this is so pathetic. A three-game win streak would have just been, we would all been through the roof.
CT was really hoping we were going to win, and he was going to be able to have you on and sort of throw your article in your face. That's what he wanted to
say. That is not true. Well, so, you know, you wrote that thing about Ernie last week and the state of the Wiz at the moment. NBA types, you know, they always say 20 games, that's when you finally get a good read on the pulse of a team. I'd say we've got a pretty good read on this year's squad. I didn't want to throw in your face, but you know, hopefully things might have shifted a little bit since you wrote that post. Do you have any kind of shred of hope that maybe things stabilize? Maybe Jan Mahimny comes back and, you know, he can play some solid defense and they rip off five wins or something somewhere. That's that throws him back in the playoff picture. Is there any positivity on your end as far as that goes?
I mean, I have really low expectations here. So yes, you know, they're gonna hover around 500, I think, for most of the season. You know, it's not gonna happen this year if it is like, you know, making a run to the second round of the playoffs. But you know, the key guys are sort of playing up to or even maybe a little bit beyond expectations, and I enjoy that. You know, I've been a Wizards fan pretty much my whole life, and so I'm still in the mode of like looking for potential in these guys. I'm like, oh, they could be good someday. So you know, I'm excited to see like, you know, Otto seeming to sort of come into his own as a legit NBA player, and Beal, who I've bagged on a lot, sort of making me eat my words a little bit this year. So yeah, like I, you know, for as negative as that piece was, and for as down as I've been on the team in general, yeah, there's still stuff that I like watching about them this year, and I take some hope from that. But it's not going to happen this year. They're not going to shock the world.
I was talking to a friend at work today, and we were just both kind of bummed out by the fact that unless you're a fan of like 3, 4, maybe 5 teams in the league this year, really all you have to watch and enjoy is like, how are the young guys progressing? Is the team moving right in the right direction? There's really no, like, unless you're deluded, you can't really expect much more than that unless you're the top couple teams in each conference, if that even.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, my former editor, Tommy Craggs, and I were working on a list of unwatchable NBA teams. And it was pretty long. This was like 2 years ago, and we had like 17 teams on the list. And just the other night, I was talking to him and saying that this year you would have to make a list of watchable NBA teams, and it would be really short. I think most of the teams in the NBA, you don't really need to keep tabs on them unless you're a fan of that team. You know, you want to sort of like, you know, see how your guys are doing. And the Wizards, you know, I hate to say it, but they're in that group. Like if you're not a Wizards fan, there's no reason to watch them this year.
Well, do you think that given, you know, the only thing you can hope for if your team isn't going to contend is that your young guys can take a step forward? The Wizards young guys have done that. Wall.
Yeah.
Beal, Otto, and, you know, Oubre recently have all been playing the best basketball you can hope for them, really.
Yeah.
And still, the team is trash.
So bad. It's so bad.
So what do you want to see happen this year? Like, what is the best outcome? That the team just wins 30 games and they fire Grunfeld and try to get a top pick? Or... what do you see as the best outcome of this season?
The best outcome is, you know, nobody's leg falls off. They make it to the end of the season in reasonable health. And Ted Leonsis finally snaps out of it enough to fire Grunfeld and hire a real general manager. You know, I kind of think their core guys are at ages now where I don't really think that what the team needs is to draft another young guy and wait a couple of years for him to figure out how to play in the NBA. I would be happy with them making not stupid investments in the offseason, although I know that's going to be kind of tough with Otto's deal coming up. But really, you know, I would just settle for nobody dropping dead between now and the end of the season, and then just finally moving on from Grunfeld.
So even if we get, okay, so let's, no one's leg falls off, no one, you know, gets gangrene in the locker room or anything. They get to the end of the season, you know, say even they grab the 8 or 7 seed, they lose in the first round, whatever. Ernie gets the can. You called the franchise a radioactive slab heap at the moment from what Ernie's done. I don't think that's disputable in any form, actually. I think that's probably a very apt way to put it. So even if someone, you know, Ted wakes up from a slumber, he hires someone who seems like they can be at least competent, Do you feel like there's any hope that this team can trend in a positive direction? You know, maybe like playoff feistiness is that level that they want to hit before John Wall's contract is up? Because I think that is kind of like the deadline for progress for at least this iteration of the Wizards.
Yeah, I mean, they can get there. Probably the worst thing I can say about Ernie Grunfeld at the moment is it's not really all that hard, I think, to build a competent bench in the NBA. The players are out there. You can find the NBA is brimming with, competent point guards, for example, and he just can't find them. And he keeps they had Ramon Sessions. They let him go. You know, they kind of blew that the way that they blew all of their sort of team building last year by loading everything up to clear the books for Durant, which was stupid in the first place. But you know, getting Trey Burke as your backup point guard, or going into a season with Marcus Thornton as your sort of the guy who's going to need to be the burner off the bench for you. Like, you can do better than that. Anybody could do better than that. You could throw darts at a list of NBA players and do better than that. I think they could be a feisty playoff team with a competent bench. They just have to get one. They have to have a general manager who's not too stupid for that job.
Do you think there is hope of keeping John Wall?
No, I don't. It breaks my heart to say it, but I don't. I have no source on this. I am not plugged into the locker room in the slightest. I'm catching a vibe that he is already, the ink is dry on his impression of the organization. And I would guess that he probably wants out. I would probably want out if I were him. And I, as much as I love him, he's probably my favorite Wizard/Bullet of my lifetime. He's probably not quite good enough that they would want to, you know, bend the franchise into a pretzel to try to convince him to stay. I can say that as sort of like, you know, hyper rational, looking at the numbers guy. It will break my heart when John Wall leaves, but it seems to me that that's where this is headed.
That might have been like the saddest moment of this podcast history. Right,
I was just going to say, I just caught a glimpse of myself in this mirror over here, and I was frowning harder than I've ever frowned.
You know, I wish
life.
I could be more of a ray of sunshine, but I'm not very heartbroken about this right now. I will be, but at the moment, I'm kind of on an even keel about it. It's just this is who they are. This is where things have gotten.
Well, you know, if it's got to be like a Harry and the Hendersons type situation where we let John go for his best, then
right.
If he goes to play for the Spurs or something, then I'll be okay with that, I think.
What would you...
Well, that would be pretty great.
What would you say, what would you say? There's still John Wall detractors out there. Do you have any kind of message you want to send to the haters? I feel like anyone that still whines about John Wall, and I think last week's game against the Magic is like the perfect embodiment of that. He scores 52. Elfrid Payton scores 25, and everyone goes, oh, he still sucks at defense. But I just think those people don't watch basketball. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, he is a victim of being on a franchise that has mostly been irrelevant for as long as he's been alive. He coming into the NBA, even people who would want to think of themselves as not being of a similar mind to somebody like Colin Coward, they had a certain idea about who he was. He went to Kentucky. He played for John Calipari. You know, people just sort of have an idea of what that means. And, you know, conveniently for them, he's on a team that nobody ever has to watch. There was a brief minute there, the two postseasons prior to last year, where you had to pay attention to the Wizards. And, you know, guys like Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith were saying good things about them. But for the most part, it's been safe and convenient to skate by just going, oh, he's one of these blue chip guys who doesn't know how to play the game the right way, and to just sort of fall back on that. His detractors can mostly go to hell. He's everything you want out of a great player.
That's what I'm talking about.
This is why you get a Deadspin guy on the podcast.
I do. I'd like to branch into that real quick, because as one of our biggest, longest time fans and listeners, Albert, and one of our most outspoken supporters, when Deadspin asked you to do the weekly recap of our episodes, and you asked us if we thought it would be a good idea, and we kind of talked it out and decided that it wouldn't be the best. Why did you think that was?
It's not our beat.
All right,
that's fair.
Makes sense.
We'll say that.
I want to get off the Wizards here. Let's talk about a cheerier topic. You and Drew McGarry have been doing these great food spin videos where you go try some local fare at a restaurant, and then you go make something and present it. But I every time I watch that, and I want to see how you feel actually doing it, I feel like that's super intimidating to go. The Ben's Chili Bowl one, you know, specifically DC related here. You go, you try the food, you know, like, oh, this is great. We're going to make something like this. And then you have to present it to the proprietor of that establishment. Like, is that totally and completely nerve-wracking for you? Because it gives me anxiety watching it.
Yeah, it's incredibly intimidating. For me, anyway, I think nothing really intimidates Drew. Like, anytime that he can just sort of perform, he's a fish in water. But for me, is incredibly intimidating. I think in a sort of weird way, it's made a little bit easier by the cameras being there, because I have to focus on just not being a complete Easter Island statue. And so I can't really, you know, sort of dwell on performance anxiety about the food. But yeah, like the Ben's Chili Bowl one, when we walked in there with our ridiculous looking little chili burger, I felt like I was gonna faint. And you know, she was very gracious about it.
Do you guys have, like, I'm assuming a producer that goes in and then says, or like lays all the groundwork for this? They don't have just Drew walk in there and try to talk to the cashier at Ben's Chili Bowl and be like, we have an idea.
It's not much different from what you see. we have some great people behind the scenes who set the stuff up in advance. You know, they call the restaurants and work with PR people or whoever it is that books these things. But it's certainly not as arranged as, like, you know, this or whatever Food Network show, you know, No Reservations with Anthony Bourdain or whatever. You know, we go in there and the people are kind of looking at us like, who the hell are these jamokes? And then we just kind of have to make it work.
If you had to shout out one local DC restaurant, a lesser known one for people to go try, give us one.
Oh, gosh. You know, the truth of the matter is I have two young kids and I live at the ass end of Route 66. And so I don't really make it into the city to eat all that much. You know, my answer for this would probably be Ben's Chili Bowl, just because as a, not only for the food, but just as a snapshot of the culture of DC, I think it's hard to beat it.
Bring your kids over to the Zarkaz house. We'll babysit. You guys can go out.
We've got another segment we usually do in the show towards the end, but we're going to do a little snippet of it here while we got you, Pop Culture Detour. Where we just kind of shout out something we've been watching, listening to, reading lately, or planning on watching, or something like that. So if you have anything you got any recommendations or things you're interested in upcoming, we'd love to hear about that. Please don't turn it into just another The Hike plug. I wouldn't expect you to, because it seems like you guys give each other a lot of shit, but just, I can't take any more plugs of that book. Even though I plan on buying it.
It's a great book.
That's probably the harshest burn that I can unleash on Drew right now, is that I have not read his book yet. I'm the only person who hasn't. I just haven't gotten around to it. I have it sitting on the table next to my bed. I have not opened it yet.
What do you mean? You said you have two small children, but when they go to bed, what's on the DVR, man? What are you watching? Are you a Westworld guy? Are you This Is Us? That's been sweeping the nation. My girlfriend makes me watch it. It's not the worst, but
I just caught up on Westworld. Some of the guys in the Deadspin Slack had takes, and I was sick and tired of not knowing what the hell they were talking about. And I like Jeffrey Wright. So when I found out he was in it, I was curious. So I just caught up on that. It was okay. It was okay. There was stuff I liked about it, and then places where I just thought, this is the silliest thing I've ever seen.
like Maeve walking around the hallways.
Yeah, the Maeve storyline was. I don't even know. I don't really know how to criticize it except to say that I just kind of think it was a bad decision to have this robot who's sort of giving herself godlike powers. But you know, they kind of pulled it back together a little bit at the end of the season there by having her, I hope I'm not spoiling this for your listeners, but by having her be surprised by her own, by like elements of her own coding that she didn't expect or didn't know were there. Those are the places where the show was actually pretty cool sometimes, and how they have a sort of the host's consciousness mirror like actual human consciousness in interesting ways. You know, the ways that your sort of programming can surprise you.
You're definitely not spoiling anything for our listeners, as the Wizards have lost more and more games. This podcast has become more and more Westworld oriented.
The Westworld podcast.
So, yeah,
you know, that's probably fine. I think everybody needs a break from the Wizard sometimes.
Yeah, we've told our listeners, don't watch the Wizards. Watch other NBA basketball or even college basketball. Just not
right.
The Wizards.
That's right.
That's actually something I forgot. I wanted to ask you. So, as someone who has to cover like all sorts of markets and teams and different things, and not even just limited to sports, how much are you able to catch up the Wizards?
I've watched parts of every one of their games so far this year. There have been games like tonight. I missed the first few minutes of the first quarter because I was reading to my kids. I've watched most of every game so far.
That's an impressive answer. That's awesome.
That's better than all of us.
Well, you know, I've actually got a lot of latitude at Deadspin. One of the great things about working there is individually we can just kind of cover whatever we're into. And the basketball teams that I'm watching are the Wizards and then the same teams that everybody's watching because they're really good. So, you know, everybody's got takes about the Warriors or about the Cavs. I'm the only Deadspin staffer who actually subjects himself or herself to the Wizards with any regularity.
It's good. You should only keep it to one. And honestly, it probably should be less than that. But we appreciate you, you flamethrowing Grunfeld whenever you get the chance.
It's always...
He sucks.
It's always extremely... Well written, you can't argue with any of it, but it is brutal when the only like national media coverage that you ever see of the Wizards is like, do they deserve John Wall because he scored 50 points and they lost, or is this team full of shit? And like,
yes.
Well, you know, I guess I have some like probably ridiculous hope that they can be sort of shamed into pulling their shit together. I think that has happened in sports.
I think it happened today with Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Well,
you know, it was enough of a high profile clown show that eventually that even Stan Kroenke, who in all other respects is just the worst person, went, all right, you know what? I got to save some face here. And maybe that'll happen with Ted Leontis. You know, I'm not all that hopeful about it, but I'm not completely, I think there's a non-zero chance of it. And so I'm going to keep picking on him.
Do you think that Ernie Grunfeld knows who you are? Do you think that he read that and was like, man,
Ted definitely, Ted definitely this guy. Does.
Not,
Ted
100%
has read it.
Ernie Grunfeld can read. So I don't think he knows who I am.
It's a 100% lock that Ted has read things that you've written, yes. Though. I would guarantee that.
Yes, I would say so.
All right, Albert, we appreciate you being generous with your time. Do you have anything else you want to get off your chest? Do you guys have anything else you want to ask him before we let him go?
I'm just a really, really big fan. All your Deadspin stuff is awesome.
Thanks, and thanks for having me on.
Of course. Albert Nico, excuse me. I always botch our guest names, so you can join that pantheon of them. We were like, oh, man, is it Bernico, Bernico? Discussing how, you read someone, you read their head, in your...
Right.
Read their name in your head, and we had to listen to some videos to make sure I got it right until this point. So, Albert Nico, Deadspin, thank you, sir, for joining us.
Thank you.
There he goes. Albert Nico, Deadspin, Foodspin, Wizards fan. Great to have him on. Really appreciate him being generous with his time, and I thought we had a good time.
The silver lining in the poop cloud that was tonight's game.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That was great. Great having him on. The thing with the Bernico at the end there got so close to making it.
Oh, my God. I don't know what it is. I mean, it's like little things like that, like scores, I get in my head and I can't spit it out properly.
Well, you know what? It's the second time. So when we had Ben Mayich on,
yeah.
Oh my God,
we talked about it before.
Don't remind
we
me.
We had him on. We were like, all right, we'll just ask him how he says it. And then we get him on and we're like, all right, let's go. No, you didn't even ask him. And we just got in and then you were getting ready to say it. I could see the fear come across your face. Like, oh no. But then he told us, we had it and with Albert until the very end, and then
yeah,
I even spelt it out phonetically on my sheet over here. So that's a overall failure, but par for the course at this point.
The other day I had an experience. Someone said a word that I was like pretty sure he said wrong, but I'd only ever read it, and I don't even totally know what it means. So I really didn't want to challenge him, but he said something about being a teetotaler, which I've always read as teetotaler, but then...
It is teetotaler, isn't it?
I thought so, but I'd never heard it spoken before, and I didn't have the balls to call him out because I wasn't sure enough.
I don't think I've ever heard it. It cannot be teetotaler.
It's definitely not. There's no way.
All right.
Well, if you see that person again, let them know they're wrong.
You know what? If we're wrong on this, this is maybe the earliest on we've made a factual error. I feel bad. I misnamed Zena's partner in the first 4 minutes of the podcast.
That's okay.
Sorry about that.
We got it out. You know what? You diligently tweeted it out on the Zardcast account, and you let the people know. So it was responsible, and you're a good co-host, Dave. That's what I'm getting at.
We owe our listeners factual accuracy.
They're good to us. Love the listeners.
Most of them.
Most of them, indeed. Maybe we can give a couple a shout out at the very end. Who knows? Okay, so I teased for a couple weeks now, and I teased at the top of the show, big announcement. I guess we could do a little... Perfect, perfect. Little drum roll there. So the big news, really, it's nothing too crazy, but I don't want to downplay it. Okay, so we are part of the Almighty Ballin' Podcast Network. We are officially a part of the A-Team. Our friend Chris Axman, he was on the pod a little bit earlier in the season. He runs almightyballer.com. He has a couple podcasts over there, including his own, Almighty Ballin'. And he reached out a couple weeks ago saying he was trying to assemble a group of team-specific podcasts, the A-Team, if you will, and reached out and said, hey, you guys want to cover the Wizards under the Almighty Baller banner? We agreed. We are in. So as a result, not a whole lot is changing, really. You know, Chris and the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, it's mostly providing some backbone, some support to what we do. So if you check out our website or Twitter account, you're going to see we've got the sweet new logo.
It is sweet.
I mean, that alone, I mean, I showed that to you guys and you guys we'll just do it for the logo. It's fine. But, so we got that going on for us. As I said at the top of the show, we are available on 18 different podcasting listening applications. Blog Talk Radio will be the main hub of it. As far as to, you know, where we're publishing, Almighty Baller has a link on the front page of it. And you can subscribe if you're, you know, into the bigger NBA picture, to the Almighty Baller feed. We will be on there along with all of their other 18 podcasts. I know they've got one for the Pacers, the Warriors, the Rockets, the Lakers, the T-Wolves. There's a bunch of them in there. Also regularly featured on the front page of the sports page on iTunes, which is cool as well. So, you know, you can still find all of our stuff at Zardcast.com. You can also get it all at AlmightyBaller.com. We're going to have Chris on in the near future to, you know, actually break it all down, you know, talk some Wiz as well. And we'll definitely have our network mates on to talk about the other squads around the league. So that's the big news here. Bunch of different ways you can find us now. I think that's like the biggest part of it. We're just casting a wider net is all to try and bring in more folks.
Podcasting a wider net.
Nice. The pun of Almighty Baller only hit me like while you were just reading that. That didn't click with me until just now.
What is the pun?
Like the Almighty Dollar.
Oh man, I didn't.
I'd read it so many times, and then it just clicked. I love the thing about having people from other teams potentially, like, you know.
Yeah, totally.
You said the Pacers. Talk to somebody from them. That's cool. My questions. Just one. What percentage of the episode do we have to talk about Mr. T and the rest of the crew?
You know, it would. I mean, that's still kind of a contentious point of negotiations, I think, between all of the new podcasts on the network as well. So we're going to get to the bottom of it. And, you know, when we have Chris on, maybe we can just hash it out on air. And I mean, I like Chris a lot, but we can really put his feet to the fire on that one, because I mean, some of us in the room are more keen on talking about the actual A team than others. I won't say who.
Don't look at me like that.
You know, some of us might have Mr. T posters hung up in their bedrooms. Like, who knows?
Yeah. Look at me like that.
My question is, so if we are about to play another team that has also an Almighty Ballin' podcast, and we do some kind of collaboration, and it gets heated, and we say some not kind things to each other, who is getting booted out of the network?
Well, again, another thing I don't think that's been established. I mean, I think we're, not knowing anything about any of the other podcasts, we're probably the strongest trio out there. So if we want to take it to, you know, either physical challenge or just straight up brawl, I think we'd be able to hold our own. So, I mean, that's just my thought. I don't know what you guys think about how we can finish off these disputes. And again, another thing to cover with Chris whenever he shows up.
Yeah, maybe there's some kind of like arbitration or.
You know, he's been working a lot behind the scenes with the website. Maybe he's also working behind the scenes with an obstacle course or something for us to settle these things. Who knows?
I'm 100% behind, since no one ever sees us, claiming that we're three really, really strong dudes who would win a fight. So I'm on board with that.
I feel like people can just tell that from our voices.
Very. Forget it. Fuck it. Okay, so, all right, any other questions on the
we're all,
network?
We're all giddy because we had Bernico on.
even a Wizards loss couldn't get us down, you guys.
I'm still kind of down. I mean, it was a pretty rough loss.
Should we get into it here?
Let's do it.
All right, so we're on the heels of a Miami loss on the road, 112-101. The Wiz sit at 9-14 overall. This was a tough one, and I said last week on the pod, this is like a big 2.5 week stretch. A lot of home games, a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference that, if you want to get anywhere, you got to beat these squads. It seemed like they were doing that. We'll get into their back-to-back wins in a second here. But then they lose to Miami for the second time this season. Let's slice and dice this game a little bit since it was fresh. It is fresh in our minds. Do we want to go quarter by quarter here? Do we want to do you have just overwhelming thoughts that you want to throw out there, Dave, or do you want me to
I think quarter by quarter is the way to go.
Okay, so
because that's how it happened.
That is a factual statement there.
Hinky says that doesn't matter though.
Why not just watch the game from back to front?
So the first quarter was a back and forth affair. It was clear early on. Hassan Whiteside was really. He was dominating Gortat. I will say that the hate for Gortat on social media is just absolutely insane. He's a solid player. He gets beat by the upper echelon of big guys in the league. Dwight Howard, the Hassan Whitesides. Like
Hassan Whiteside works everybody.
Right. Like I don't think there's a reason to be so hateful and spiteful of him. Like He's good on. I mean, he's very solid just about every night.
He's one of the best screen setters in the league. He always has been. He's leading the league in screen assists per game.
Great stat.
Always working to get guys open. He's like fifth in the league in rebounds per game right now. He's rebounding better than he ever has. He's definitely lost a step. I think he's not like making the big plays that he normally does, but he still had a couple putbacks tonight. Like, he's doing his best, and I don't understand how anyone could watch a Wizards game and think he is the problem.
He's, like you said, very consistent. He's good for a couple frustrating, like, botched layups every game, but for the most part, yeah, he just does, like, what they ask him to do. Gets a bunch of rebounds, pick and roll, finishes most of them, and just, you know, he's, like you said, pretty solid, not outstanding. And I think a lot of the hatred towards him this season is coming from the fact that he's just kind of got a lesser role in the offense, which is by design. Like, it's so Wall, Beal, Otto heavy that there's just not a lot of plays being run for Gortat. They're doing less Wall, Gortat pick and roll because there's more Beal action, there's more Porter cuts. I think his less involvement in the offense makes him seem like he's playing a lot worse, which I don't think is actually the case.
And even when he was super involved in the offense, like you remember last year when they would start every single game by throwing it down to Gortat like three times in the first five possessions.
Very deliberately.
That's never a good possession. Even the best like post-up scorers in the league don't score at like an efficient enough level. Other than like Kevin Durant, nobody scores well out of the post like that. Gortat certainly doesn't. Nobody really does.
Yeah. Most of the guys who do aren't like true big men. It's like Durant, LeBron.
Right. So it doesn't make sense for them to be doing that. But he's still, I feel like, scoring pretty close to what he did last year. He's working hard for putbacks. He's still running the floor a ton.
Totally. He loves it too. I mean, against the Bucks afterwards, he praised John for playing so up tempo and so fast. I think he really does enjoy when that happens, and you know,
it's not like we wouldn't love to see more from him along with the Wizards in general, but right. Like the hate is a little too much, so we got to give him some love.
Oh, yeah. he needs every last press of that soundboard, believe me.
And the worst thing is, I don't understand how you can say like mean stuff about him on Twitter. Like, how can you not like Gortat?
Right, exactly.
He's never been the worst thing you can say about him is that he sometimes gets too upset when he doesn't play well.
And what you said earlier while we were watching the game, he's one person who we know reads his mentions and
right.
like he responds to them. So when he's reading that stuff, it's got to be a bummer.
Yeah. He was a huge part of turning this team around. He's still one of the best players on the team. There's not really any reason for that.
I mean, I want to say in that of those two playoff appearances by the Wizards in that Pacers series, in the first time that they showed up and made some noise, he had a 40-point game. Like, I think they lost that game, but I mean, he's been a key cog in this machine.
I think you could very easily make the argument that he's been the second best player on the Wizards in the John Wall era.
And we probably said it 19,000 times last season on the pod. Like, we've been banging that drum.
He's the guy that's there every night. Right. If you're going to blame him for every like missed rotation or, you know, rebound that goes over his head, that's not what's going on. It's not his fault.
Especially, I mean, I don't want to pile on Markieff Morris too much, but he is like the king of falling asleep at the wheel. Like, literally, it's unbelievable. This game, though, it was a back and forth affair. The bench, they were able to hold things like together a little bit in the second quarter, maintain the Wizards lead. The Wiz, though, they blew like a bunch of chances to really open this thing up. They really had a lot of opportunities to do so. Fortunately, the Heat's bench also is a disaster. So things were just kind of, they just cancel each other out. The Wizards' shitty offensive play and then the Heat's also inability to do much of anything offensively.
The Heat's bench, man. Wayne Ellington.
Did Johnson start or was he off the bench?
No, he came off the bench. But this guy, Rodney Magruder, he started? Who is that?
Is he from Miami?
No clue.
Kansas State. He's 25. Mm. This is his rookie year. I don't know. There were Willie Reed. I don't really know much about Willie Reed either.
When that reminds me of a fun game I have for the two of you. So when we're done talking about this game, or at some point, I got a little interlude that we can play.
Sounds good.
Just I didn't want to forget about it.
Let's speed through this here. This game sucked. Brad and John, they start to heat up. They're keeping the Heat at arm's length. They're still not really playing great defense, and I think the key really to the Heat's wins tonight was they were just pummeling the Wizards on the glass, especially on the offensive glass in the first half. I think they grabbed like 7 offensive rebounds in the first and second quarters. And eventually, all those second chance points, you know, the Heat's three-pointers, they start falling, and they really had a terrible end to the first half and coughed up the lead to the Heat. Not good, not good. And then the Heat come out, they push the lead to 9 and even out to 11. Fortunately, Beal, he was balling. John playing well. They slowly get together. They go on a 16-3 run. They take their first lead of the second half, and they hang on to that lead going into the fourth quarter. How are we feeling at this point in the game?
I was pretty confident right there because they'd had like generally not great play, but then a few runs to stay in it, and then at that point it seemed like they looked like they were going to sustain it.
I thought we had it. I mean, I've never thought that we were going to lose a lead once we brought John in. I don't know if that's happened this year. That John came in and then we blew it.
We'll have to get our intern to check in on those facts. The Heat, they grab the lead back early on the fourth quarter. The Wiz go down by, I think, as many as 7. Both teams eventually, they play like a weird small ball thing. I mean, for as effective as Whiteside was, I can't believe that the Heat went small.
I think they do that a lot. I think that he just can't play down the stretch, really.
Hmm.
Maybe because he can't hit free throws. I don't know. He didn't play the last...
He wasn't in the last, like, at least 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe longer.
I think it was longer. Yeah.
Well, it didn't really matter. The Wiz were hanging around. They kind of kept it within five for the most part. But, I mean, those offensive rebounds, second chance points, I mean, that's what killed them down the stretch. And that was all she wrote for the Zards. You had John score 30, you had Beal score 29, and as we said last week, you know, these guys, they have great nights and they lose, and it's just it's unbelievable. Like, it's so crazy. Like, what other teams in the league where their two best players go off on a given night and they just consistently lose? None of them, probably. I'm sure there's some.
Well, I'm there's plenty of times when it happens and it's just one guy, right, and then the rest of the team is trash. And this is just like, kind of the same thing, except there's one more good guy.
There's never any good plays at the end of the game. Yeah. Like
that with like a minute 12 left, the one John Wall play was excruciating.
But even when they do, like even when they do score, Beal throw in four hesitation moves and then a reverse layup. Even if he scores, that's still not a good possession when you need to score. I would love to see the numbers on the shots that Otto has taken in the last like 2 minutes of games that aren't him just like chucking up when he gets the ball with 4 seconds left on the shot clock. If they ever find an open look for Otto toward the end of the game, that's what they should be trying to do. But it's just Brad and John taking turns, and that's never going to work.
Yeah. That one pained me, though.
It was
dribbled around for a while. The pick took forever to get there from Gortat. Eventually it did.
And I think he took the wrong side of the pick.
I don't know if he took the wrong side or if he just didn't like take it far enough, and he just kind of turned back around, dribbled to the opposite wing, and shot like a fadeaway three-pointer, deep three-pointer. And there was still 10 seconds on the clock at that point, too. So it wasn't like he had to shoot that. That one hurt.
Just a goddamn. I mean, we said when we had Albert on, like, they win this, they hit a three-game winning streak, and we're high-fiving all night. Like,
and we're like a game and a half out of the playoffs. And
yeah, I mean, this, it just shakes everything up. I mean, it's not quite as bad as the ledge that we were on post Magic game, but still not great. Not a great spot that they're in. I mean, again, there's plenty of, I won't call them, there are plenty of games that they can be competitive in coming up to try and, you know, get back into that picture. And again, I mean, it sounds crazy, but like, you know, if they rip off four games, which like in the NBA, I don't think is a huge ask, then they're right back in the thick of it. And it's, you know, it's not all good, but it's, things are better.
I mean, before tonight, they had won 6 of their last 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's enough. You just have to win 6 out of 10 games, but you can't blow games like this. And
this Heat team is not any good. I mean, they're worse than the Wizards. They're 8-17. They're 3-8 at home. They're not even a good home team. Like
6-17 if you take away their games against the Wizards.
Yeah.
Gordon Dragic, he has 34 points. I wish we could have just watched Kelly Oubre just beat him to a pulp, but that's
I don't know, man. I was thinking when we were watching, Goran Dragic seems like he's been bench pressing a little bit. His arms look way bigger than they did before.
And you always got to watch out for those Eastern Euros.
For sure. They've had it much tougher. Well, I don't know. Kelly was from Katrina. He might be.
You think he knows how to train your Dragic?
He obviously doesn't, because he was guarding him for a while and getting worked.
Confession, that was one I thought of well before the podcast, and was just trying to find a way to weasel it in, and it didn't quite work, but I just couldn't resist.
Okay, you did a nice job. I liked it.
Thanks.
All right, gentlemen, let's go back in time here. So we did the pod last Monday following the Nets game. That was also like way too uncomfortably close. They pulled that one out, and I said this to one of our followers on Twitter. I'm gonna pull his name up so I don't botch it. Our boy River.
Oh, River D. Alien.
River D. Alien. He listened to he's new to the show, but he listened to it after the Magic game. And all I was thinking during the Magic game is like, man, if they lose, like, all of our, you know, shiny optimism, or, you know, maybe even like dull optimism will be completely negated. And I also said last week, I will toot my own horn. Again, Wizards players, they go off and they lose. John Wall, he scores 52 and they lose. And I think actually we should do this week in John Wall now, because I feel like this is the highlight right here.
Ni ha washi John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall of the Washington Wizards.
A spectacular circus shot by John Wall.
Everybody do it, John Wall. Do it, John.
So John scores 52 against the Magic. They still lose 124-116. Basically, I mean, this team, like, they
had career nights from, like, multiple people.
Right.
Elfrid Payton had the best game of his career by a mile.
Jeff Green shredded the Wiz. I saw something like, oh, Jeff Green, Wizards killer. It's something on Twitter. Someone said that, and then someone followed up with, Everyone kills the Wizards, so that label is really doesn't stand for much. But and again, you know, he scores 52 points. You know, Elfrid Payton gets his 25, and it's like the perfect rallying cry for John Wall haters, which just enrages me to no end, because it really, he was the only guy. I mean, he didn't play well defensively, but you know, he put it all out there. And then after the game, all the starters bailed. They left the locker room without talking to the media, or they didn't talk to the media when they came in. And he took all the heat on the heels of a career night.
When you're talking about John Wall haters, are you talking about the specific person that was talking shit in our group chat after this Wizards game had ended?
He's among them. Can we out him?
I mean, sure.
Former,
just who's the
former host?
Very early.
Former co-host. Yeah.
Man, if you're a long time Zardcast listener, you'll remember we had another co-host who eventually flamed out. But he's very negative about John.
His name's Max. I don't know why we're being.
Yeah, that's true. He's probably gonna listen. So,
I think it might have been the very next night though, the Rockets and the Thunder were on. And he also had some thoughts about Russell Westbrook. He said, oh, this guy's not even trying to win. He might as well be Ricky Davis out there.
I couldn't believe that he said that.
That's the level that this guy is operating.
The dumbest take of all time. We spent a lot of time on Zardcast. Okay, maybe he doesn't listen, because we spent a lot of time on that trying to be like, you know, what is that what he's doing? But no, we've watched many Thunder games. We've decided he's not.
And
like,
those,
like,
Westbrook and Wall, Westbrook's number one, and Wall, I think, is either tied for second or third for fourth quarter scoring. They both, like, really step it up when it's, like, close game at the end. They're trying to win.
Right.
There are four guys in the league that create or score, like, two-thirds of their team's points. Westbrook, Harden, LeBron, and Wall. And it just seems like, how can you watch basketball and not understand that that's such a, like, hugely demanding role? And of those four guys, only one of them actually plays defense. And that's LeBron, who was, like, one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah. The Magic game was wildly frustrating, though. I'm looking at their current. They are the second lowest scoring team in the league, ahead of only the Mavericks. And that's today, so they probably got a bump from that game. They might have been even lower before.
I think, though, Payton, so he came off the bench, so he had like 12 points in the first quarter.
He had 20 by the half at least.
Yeah, he had 12 from when he came in to when he came out, but I think only like six of them were when John was on the court, and then a lot of them were when John was off.
And he didn't really score in the second half much.
He didn't. I don't. Yeah, he maybe had like 4 points, 6 points in the second half. So yeah, I mean, John isn't playing like good defense, but who is, while also carrying that kind of offensive.
Right. I mean, I think to try and like nail him on his defense in this game, like, who the fuck else is scoring? Right. Like, come on. I mean, it's kind of a joke. So they lose that one. Total gut punch of an evening. And then, I don't know, I feel like it was really emblematic of the whole team for Brad, Otto, Gortat, Markieff to all just bail. And you know what? I think that's on Scott Brooks. Scott Brooks needs to be like, hey, I got to sit up here and take shitty questions. You need to as well. Like, I mean, obviously the season is, you know, threatening to unwind pretty quickly, but I feel like he's got to kind of make that stand there. But evidently that was not the case. And John took the heat, and, you know, he's the superstar on this team. I guess that's what you got to do. He's really making a strong case for whoever wants to sign him in 2019. This is what I'm saying here.
But they're now 0-4 against Florida-based teams.
Even better.
Didn't we beat the Magic once?
Yeah.
Or is that not right?
Oh, they played three times already?
I think so.
Yeah, you're right.
1-3. So, they lose to the Magic. Thursday night's game against the Nuggets. You're looking at a team that scores a whole bunch. I feel like it kind of had disaster written all over it. Prime for Washington's defense to get abused, but they end up grinding out a win, which is like, I don't know. When you look at these two games right next to each other, it's totally different. Again, I mean, with all these games, they're down early, as many as 14 points in the first half. So they were able to pick up their defense eventually. Again, totally rattled to come out. They turn it over 8 times at the first quarter. But they do end up clenching down on defense. They forced 29 turnovers, I believe is the number. I'm going to pull that stat up to confirm here. But they clamped down on defense. The bench had a better night. Oubre had 8. Thornton had 7. Burke with 6. Those are all paltry numbers, but for how the bench has been playing, that'll do it. So the Wiz, they were able to grab a lead and to head into the fourth quarter, and John and Brad able to close this one out as they should, as you know they tried to do every night, but no, they grab a win, and that's always a good thing. Dave, you weren't watching the game. Can you tell us where you were at during this time?
When was this? I feel like I was watching.
This would have been Thursday night.
Last Thursday night.
I was watching it, I think.
You said you were, maybe you watched some of it, but we texted during the game.
Objection, leading the witness.
What was I? I feel like I did watch a lot of this. I feel like I saw a lot of Jameer Nelson.
He did play almost the whole game.
You went to the zoo!
Oh, yeah, but I watched, I was watching on my phone, and then I came back, and I watched the end of it after the zoo. But the Nuggets are fucking awful. Moutier didn't play and Fareed didn't play, right?
Right.
And those are two.
Moutier's not been doing well.
He's awful. But so is Will Barton. Wilson Chandler is their best player, right?
Yeah, and he comes off the bench.
Yeah. So I feel like I did see a good amount of it. I was at the zoo for a lot. But
what was the best thing you saw at the zoo?
Well, it was actually I went to like a.
Is it Zoo Lights?
Yeah, that's right. And there were no animals outside, but then a couple of the inside things, so you could go see some
snakes,
lizards.
What about the gorillas? They're normally like on the inside hanging out. Or...
No, there weren't any gorillas, which I was bummed about.
Oh man!
But there was like the little, I don't even know what it's called, like not the rodents, but like the.
Like prairie dog type
chinchillas
things?
And yeah,
okay.
And
the ones that burrow,
and there were some like little monkeys that I guess share the space with the little. Gotcha. I don't know. But it was fine.
Sounds better than watching this game though.
It was really cold out. But I did, again, I was watching like it on my phone as I was at the zoo. But it was awful because the Nuggets are terrible and we weren't. I don't know if any team has less talent than the Nuggets.
Well, that is a really good segue to the game I wanted to play.
Okay.
I realize now that this is maybe a little unkosher because it's since we just had a major Deadspin guy as our guest to do a SB Nation quiz. It's maybe no good since they're rivals, but I think whatever.
Just let it fly.
This is, does this person have a role in the upcoming movie star movie Star Wars Rogue One, or is he a player for the Memphis Grizzlies? So it's going to make me submit this as a quiz, so you two are going to have to come to consensus on each one, not have your own answers. All right?
Okay. Well, I feel like I watch a good amount of League Pass, know a lot of obscure NBA players.
This first guy.
Star Wars guy, so I think we can do this.
Yeah, but it's actors for the new Star Wars.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Number one, Ben Daniels.
I think it's Star Wars.
I'm going to go actor, too. Yeah.
All right. Correct. He plays General Merrick.
Yes.
Jordan Stevens.
Grizzlies.
Grizz.
Sorry. Stevens plays Corporal Tonk in the upcoming Rogue One. Jarrell Martin.
Grizzlies.
Grizz.
Yes. Played 51 games the past two seasons. James Harkness.
I'm gonna go actor.
Okay.
Correct.
Yes.
Private Bastarin. Andrew Harrison.
Grizzlies.
Grizzles.
Correct. Vince Taylor.
Let's go actor.
Correct. Uncredited role as a Rebel X-Wing pilot.
I feel like I would know about any basketball players with the last name Taylor. That would just be on my radar. Mm.
James Ennis.
Grizzlies.
Grizz. Yeah.
Correct. Troy Williams.
Grizzlies.
Grizzlies, of course. Went to Indiana.
Correct. James Jones.
Grizzlies.
Grizzles.
Sorry.
Oh.
Did I read that wrong? No, yeah. James Earl Jones. It's a long time
ago. Oh, my God.
For Darth Vader.
Wow.
Troy Daniels.
Grizzlies.
Grizz.
Yes. So final score, 8 out of 10.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Got tripped up on Darth Vader and one of the actors.
You throw Earl in there. I mean, slam dunk, but.
That was a tricky one because there is a James Jones.
Right. He's on the Raptors.
I don't know who he's on now.
27 turnovers.
Is he still, he's still
Nuggets
a Cav, isn't
the other night.
He's a Cav, I think.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I was thinking of James Johnson. Is that the guy on the.
Yeah.
So last game for us to glance at here. Saturday night, Milwaukee Bucks in town. Wizards had only won back-to-back games once all season. And they do it again. Second time. And on the back of a career night from Kelly Oubre, who had 19 points, 9 rebounds, they get it done 110-105. Kelly Oubre continues to blossom before our eyes here.
Five to win and nobody beats me.
Perfect. He really ballooned the bench. Another nice night from the bench. He kept the Wiz out of, you know, too serious trouble. They were down 9 early. He had a 3 at the end of the game. He was good on defense and was a part of this kind of key Wall, Beal, Otto, Oubre, Gortat lineup. We saw that a little bit tonight against the Heat, as well as, sub Gortat out for Markieff, which is what we saw most of the end of this Heat game. But, key cog in that.
I really like the Oubre-Porter together. I think we said that last week, and I stand by it now with more evidence. Oubre played well again tonight. Didn't have the numbers, really, but he was playing well.
That lineup was, let's see, in the like 35 minutes they had played, they were like plus 40. And I think it was, I'm trying to remember who tweeted it out, but it was the second most successful lineup that's been played in the NBA of all lineups that have played like 30 minutes this year. So it didn't work that great tonight.
Right. Yeah.
It does seem useful, though. It's, I mean, hey, this is something that Brandi Whitman would not have tapped into, I don't think. I mean, this is more of Scott Brooks tinkering with the lineups and what works and what doesn't. I mean, it's turned out pretty well defensively. I mean, Kelly Oubre also, you know, he's looked good on the defensive end. At the end of that game, he had a steal and a slam that helped shut the door. He had a nice three-pointer there. The Wiz closed things out with an 11-0 run to really shut the door on him. And, you know, it was a nice little evening for him.
Yeah, it was his, you say it was his career high in 19.
All you can ask for.
That lineup works well in general. And like you were saying, it's intriguing defensively. But I think part of it is all season long, they're getting a million points scored on them. Maybe they realize that if every time the bench is in, they're going to get a ton dropped on them and they're not stopping anybody. They just need to be scoring more and playing faster, which I don't know if that is the proper adjustment to make. If we're getting scored on, we got to score more rather than trying to batten down the hatches and guard up. But I think that could be part of it also, because even in tonight's game, like, there were so many times where they run to catch the made basket and try to fire the inbounds really quick. Beal had a nice long outlet to Wall, and there were a few other ones where they like really hustle to get the ball inbound and get down the court. They're trying to get on more breaks and such.
If that is their plan, imagine if they can run out those four and Mahinmi instead of Gortat. If he ever gets healthy, that could be even more potent, I think.
Right. And that's kind of the thing lingering over this team right now. I mean, you think, you know, tonight against the Heat, you have Mahinmi out there who can, you know, play a little more defense against Whiteside. And, you know, you throw Gortat in with the bench unit. I mean, that gives you a little more offense from the bench, and you can, you know, prevent from disaster via an elite big man. All of this is purely wild speculation because Jan is out another week. He was complaining about soreness in his non-surgically repaired knee, which is also exciting. They did an MRI, no damage, nothing going on, just sore. So at least another week. We'll be here when he returns. Just waiting around.
It's baffling.
I wouldn't even say it's that baffling because we should have asked Albert this. I feel like you could have bet on this. Which Wizards player did they give a contract to that is just not going to play and not going to be effective? Although
a lot of people would have lost that bet because they would have gone with Beal.
Yeah, that's probably a good point.
You know what? Look at Beal playing like 17, 18 out of the first 22 games.
Yeah, and he's cooking too. He's playing well.
We need a Brad sound.
We got two of them.
Oh, yeah, the pandas.
Yeah, we got two of them. Let's
see. I'm not a big fat panda. I'm the big fat panda.
I mean, he's averaging like 25 since he came back from that little hamstring thing. That's in like 10, 12 games.
He scored 26 against the Nugs.
And you know what? He's doing it even when he doesn't shoot very well. He is his change of direction is like little hesitate. He can do four hesitation dribbles in like 2 seconds. I've never seen anybody. He's got a weird like herky jerky little, but it's so effective.
Working out well. I mean, slashing the basket well. I mean, I feel like that is, you know, if his shooting is off for the night, like that is, you know, the key component right there. And the fact that he's got that down is quite encouraging.
He needs to be able to move the ball better. That's when the offense really clicks, is when he has four or five assists in a game. But I mean, it's good just to see him score.
So we will we'll nail down when we're recording next. Might be a little bit funky before Christmas, but let's just look at the next four here on the schedule. Next three are at home. Charlotte on Wednesday, Detroit on Friday, Clippers come to town on Sunday, and then you got Indiana a week from tonight, this Monday, that's in Indiana, excuse me. So three straight at home, on the road to Indiana. Three of those super winnable. I mean, again, this is, as I've said, this podcast last week, this is a group of games that you gotta take advantage of. What are we thinking here?
Can you read them out again?
Charlotte at home on Wednesday, Detroit at home on Friday, Clippers at home on Sunday, and then at Indiana next Monday.
Sounds like 4-0.
I don't like it. 2-2.
I kind of feel the same way, Duncan. 2-2. I'll just say 3-1 just to spice it up a little bit. But
if I think this Hornets game is a big game, yeah. If only for the fact that I think John is in real danger of not making the All-Star team this year.
Due in large part to Kemba.
Mm-hmm. And Isaiah Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie
will make it. He'll get voted in.
Yeah, I think it'll definitely be Kyrie and Wade will be the starters.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, IT is putting up like 27-7, and Kemba is putting up like 24-5. I don't know, 5, and neither of those guys are better than John, but their teams are, you know, mid to high playoff seeds, and we're 4 games out. It's going to be tough.
Completely. I feel like there's been an underrated Charlotte rivalry that's gone on the past, you know, 3-4 years. It's always, I mean, I feel like there's always huge stakes just because they're, I don't know what Charlotte's record is right now. I can look it up.
They're 14-10, I think.
So, I mean, way better than the Wizards at this moment, but, I mean, I feel like there's always stakes when they play. This is no different. So,
and Kemba and John look exactly alike, don't they?
They have similar beards.
Mm-hmm.
Clippers on Sunday, I would say it's the most intriguing game of the week if it weren't for the fact that the Wizards are trying to maintain hold of their season. So I guess I'm just excited to watch. I like John versus Chris Paul, CP3, always fun. There's definitely like a point guard rivalry between those two. We've seen that in the past, so that'll be fun to watch as well. But yeah, they got it. I mean, they can't go worse than 2-2 here. I mean, treading water is of the utmost importance, and whenever you can, you know, be plus on these games, then that's what you're looking for.
I think they're just going to go 4-0, and it'll be fine.
Oh, Dave. Have you learned nothing from doing this pod?
Literally nothing.
All right. Let's wind it down here. Little pop culture detour.
Let's do it. What do you got? Pop culture detour.
So on Saturday night for the Bucks game, it was Star Wars night at the Verizon Center. I admittedly didn't watch any of that game. I was out and about. And Dave, you were texting us. You were saying that during the game, it was told that the only person on the Wizards roster that has seen any Star Wars movie is Jason Smith.
It was not just that he was the only guy on the roster that had seen it. It seems like he was the only guy in the entire Wizards Monumental Sports CSN organizations that had seen it. Chris Miller was trying his best to get this Star Wars broadcast off the ground, and every person he asked was just like, I've never seen it. I don't know what you're talking about. Which is baffling. I don't know.
Jay Michael was like, you said he was giving him weird looks about it.
He tried to throw to him and was like, I'm Lando, who are you? And he was like, I have no idea.
You said Phil and Buck too?
Yep.
That's the most surprising one to me.
So I was thinking about it, and I mean, Phil was like a professional basketball player in when the first Star Wars movie came out. So he probably had a lot of like cool shit to do. You know what I mean?
But also, like, don't
he was
you think like
swinging?
If Star Wars was like an amazingly big deal then too.
Right. Like, don't you think he'd be like, oh yeah, we're gonna go to the Uptown Theater and we're gonna go like you know, it'd be like a night on the town kind of thing. Like, maybe not.
But
they
hadn't seen it, and when they did ask him about it, he was just like, Buck said he hadn't seen it, and then Chris Miller was like, oh well, I know you're a film buff then, and then Buck went into this his impression of Hannibal Lecter. Where he did the like fava beans and Chianti, and then did like the weird Hannibal Lecter. he did that on the broadcast, and that was it. And then they just like didn't talk about Star Wars anymore.
Weird. But then that led to us finding out that you yourself have only seen episode one.
Yeah.
Arguably the worst of the seven Star Wars movies.
I don't think many people argue that. I think that's pretty accepted that that's the worst one. As you said, you didn't dislike it. You had the video game. I had the video. Were you talking about the pod racing video game?
Yeah.
I had that too.
Yeah. I feel like everyone liked that.
Great video game.
I had it on Dreamcast.
I mean, we were like, that came out in, what, 2002?
That movie?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sounds right.
So we were, 12, 13 years old. I thought it was fine. I don't know. I never have had any interest in seeing some old ass science fiction movie from the 70s.
But they like put them out when we were like 7, 8, 9, 10 in theaters. I think my stepmom and maybe just her, but at least her and maybe other parents love them. So I'd seen them before then, but I definitely went and saw the originals in theaters when they did that whole thing. And then was amped for everyone since then.
I think before that came out, but for Christmas, I got the trilogy on VHS.
Darth Vader on the box?
Yeah, it was like Darth Vader, Jabba the Hutt, and someone else in the mix there. But watched them all repeatedly, got a bunch of toys to follow up, and then saw the updated version. I remember there was like a big like Taco Bell promotion. I was like all Star Wars whenever I must have been like 7 or 8 at the time, which was like perfect time to be impressionable about that thing. But
so around this time last year when episode 7 was coming out, my girlfriend, shout out Tai Tai Baby, she had never seen any of them. She thought pieces of the originals when she was a kid, but never like start to finish any of them. So we watched all 6. And then, or actually, we only watched 5 of them, but 5 of the first 6, and then went and saw 7. And now she like is all about it. She's more into Star Wars than I am. It was a fantastic result. She's pumped for Rogue One. You said you don't have much interest in like old, out of date sci-fi, but Episode 7 was badass, and you don't really need to have seen the first 6. And Rogue One looks badass.
Rogue One, I'm very intrigued by. I'm gonna see that.
It seems like you could watch it by itself.
This last one looked extremely cheesy, and I don't want to see it. I didn't like anything that I saw about it.
What about when they do the like Han Solo movie?
I don't like Harrison Ford.
He won't. It's going to be like Han Solo.
Oh yeah, and that one is that the one that Rian Johnson is directing?
I don't know.
The guy that made Looper?
And
because I'll watch that one.
He's doing the next in like the straight up.
He's doing 8.
Okay. Yeah.
But the young Han Solo, guy that was in that Coen Brothers movie.
You don't care for Harrison Ford?
No, I don't like Harrison Ford.
You don't
Ford
like Air Force One?
Indiana Jones?
No, not really.
Oh, my God.
Witness? You've seen Witness?
No.
The Fugitive?
Mm.
The Fugitive is dumb as shit.
Oh. I watched that on an airplane, and it was real good.
No, I don't.
The Fugitive set like a whole genre.
I don't really like Harrison Ford now, and it has like poisoned all of his older work.
Yeah, because he's like a cranky 78-year-old man.
Yeah, that's the worst bit that you can have, like him and Clint Eastwood, like
just being crusty assholes.
Yeah, I don't like that.
All right, Dave. Well, whatever floats your boat, you know. Cannot talk about Star Wars.
This newest Star Wars, Rogue One. I definitely want to see that one. That looks cool.
With James Jones from the Grizzlies.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, gentlemen. I think we've run the gamut here. We've cranked out another long one. any parting shots? Final thoughts?
I think that was the one.
I want to apologize to preacher people. I didn't mean to throw your words back in your face like that.
I think we need a segment.
We weren't talking directly. Last week we covered the just general negativity on Wizards Twitter.
Right.
And as our most interactive Twitter follower, it probably did seem like we meant just you, Preacher B-Ball, but it was not aimed directly at you.
For sure. It was just like the most recent one I had read. I didn't mean it. And he honestly isn't like a...
I was going to say, when I'm going through during the games and I'm reading all the negative reactions to everything... He is not ever like someone that I'm like, oh, God.
No, it's just the ones that are doing like 40 tweets a game. Like, this is the worst thing in the world.
Right.
Like, fine, man. Do something. Anything else.
Yeah. And then shout out new listener, interactive listener, River. I don't know if it's River D Alien or River D Alien. Thanks for trying to help me with my Roku League Pass situation. I may take your advice. Been doing some Christmas shopping, so I don't know if I can buy that new equipment yet, but maybe I'll try to get that when I got the funds.
Thanks for listening, man. Also, shout out to friend of the pod, Justin Akins. He always listens. Oh. When's the new Zardcast coming up? We love. He's not even really like a wizard, like a super big Wizards or basketball fan, but he listened to the pod. He's a good friend of mine and Dave's. We go way, way back. So shout out to him and big congratulations on his engagement. I had to give him some shine here. That's all I got for you guys. Let's head out of here on that. Zardcast.com, almightyballer.com as well is where you can find all our work, as well as, God, let me just run through it here. At the end, iTunes, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio, Overcast, Player FM, Stitcher, Acast, and TuneIn. That's where you can find us. So for my co-hosts, David Keffer, Gary Jones, I'm CT Schwenk. That was Zardcast.